Because listen, what good is it if we go home and we have this truth in our hearts, but yet we can't apply it? If we apply that in daily life to live selflessly, can you imagine, even if it's when someone's watching or someone is not watching, can you imagine the impact that selfless love can have? What a testimony and a witness it is to the power of God and who Jesus is.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing an encouraging message that I recently shared with our congregation and Holt Assembly of God. Today's message is part of a series that is entitled The Cross. The cross Jesus endured was for the atonement of our sins. As we follow Jesus, as believers, we also endure a cross. A cross that says less of me and more of him. My hope for you today is that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the word of God shared in this message.
But again, this is not a new commandment, is it? I mean, it's something that is old. It goes back into the Old Testament, Leviticus 19:18. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Paul goes on and he writes, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't have enough of that, you can go to James. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I think God is trying to tell us something, don't you? And when we look at selflessness, the truth is this. Selflessness, I believe, is a truth that we should live selflessly. Can we all agree on that? That the cross calls us to selflessness. I mean, think about this. You can't carry a cross, bear your own cross selfishly, because the cross causes death. It causes the end of self. Whenever you apply the cross to your life, it causes you to deny yourself, right? So the very existence of the cross calls you to commit yourself to it and to die to it, to live selflessly. So we can agree that's a truth, right? There's overwhelming truth in God's word. But how do we apply that truth? We can all agree, yeah, we should live selflessly. But how do we do that? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the challenge, isn't it? Man, it's easy to say, yeah, I agree. Check that one off. I agree we should be selfless. But now, put it into practice. Rubber hits the road. God is really dealing with me with some things that sometimes we can give great, great lectures, great sermons, great truth. But how do you apply that truth? Because listen, what good is it if we go home and we have this truth in our hearts, but yet we can't apply it? Think about this. If we apply that in daily life to live selflessly, can you imagine, even if it's when someone's watching or someone is not watching, can you imagine the impact that selfless love can have? What a testimony and a witness it is to the power of God and who Jesus is. That these people aren't just people who go to church every Sunday or Wednesday. But these are people who live out their lives as Christians. But often when we think of loving our neighbor as ourselves, that word love has strings attached to it. Strings are attached to our love. We'll sometimes say, you know, I'll love my wife, my parents, my children, my close friends, but other people I may have different standards for. That word neighbor is those who are near you. Not so much in relationship, just near you. A great story, right? Jesus is speaking here. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? He goes on, therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Boy, have you ever heard that? Nobody's perfect. Shouldn't we want to be like Jesus? Isn't Jesus perfect? And I know we'll get ultimate perfection when we walk through the presence of God, into the presence of God. But you see, this is what we do. Well, until I get there, I'm not going to be perfect. What a cop-out. What a disgrace to the power of God. Honestly, what a disgrace to the Holy Spirit. I mean, you had the power to bring life into the body of Christ, right? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you and I, correct? So he can give life, but he can't help me become perfect. You know why? Because I don't want to be perfect. That's what it comes down to. I just don't want to be perfect. I don't want to love my neighbor as myself. My neighbor stinks. My neighbor is a fan of this football team. He brags about it. My neighbor cusses. My neighbor does this. My neighbor has junk hanging out of their trunk. Whatever it might be, whatever you don't like about your neighbor, there are reasons why. But the scriptures command a perfect love. How do we put that in practice? Well, unless you come to the cross of selflessness, you ain't going to make it. You're not going to make it. We can't. It's impossible. Again, the cross, again, presents truth to it. It says, now, buddy, live with it and apply it to your life now. Just hearing's not good enough. Do it. Even the tax collectors love their friends. Even the tax collectors love their loved ones. You know what Jesus did right there was he took some of the bottom of the barrel and gave us an example. The underbelly of Jewish society, the tax collector, he takes them and he tells the disciples, hey, listen, don't think so highly of yourself if you can love your wife and your children. Even the tax collectors do that. That is, again, a presentation of overwhelming truth. A dagger right into your heart, isn't it? Pierces your heart. It divides soul from spirit. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. The Word of God is, isn't it? I'll take the wind right out of your sails when you think you're doing good. Man, I love my wife. I love my children. There's no better dad. There's no better husband. Yeah, well, there might be a better neighbor, though. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him. Remember, the Jews, you know, their lawyers would be, you know, teachers, and they would be people who are versed in the law of God, both the written and the oral traditions, right? And so when we think of a lawyer, we don't think of Alexander Shinar, right? You know, that's kind of what we, and maybe that is a good example. I don't know. But someone who knows the law, certain lawyers stood up, tested Jesus, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said that, right? And he said to him, vice versa. And Jesus said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he, being the man, right, the teacher, because you can see the little H here, wanting to what? Justify himself. Boy, don't we do that? We want to justify ourselves. And said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Sometimes we stop there, and we forget about what he does then to illustrate who his neighbor is. Do you remember what he does, what story he tells to illustrate who his neighbor is? It's the parable of what? The Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. I mean, all right, buddy, you want to justify yourself? Buckle up, because I'm going to teach you something here. So he gives them the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now we understand this, that the Samaritans, right, they're not on good terms with the Jews. They didn't like each other. There's years of history, right? There's years of conflict. And there's this wedge. And so the Samaritan was not a good neighbor. And vice versa, the Samaritans say the Jews aren't good neighbors. Jesus goes right at this fella, teacher of the law, a guy who is probably propagating that same lie, you know, about the Samaritans or whatever. They're the enemies, whatever. And so he goes, all right, Bubba, here's what you get. And he tells the story. Now, we can't fully get the impact of the story. Really, we can't. Because Jews and Samaritans, the relationship between them, even if we study history, we kind of get to understand, but we don't get it. So let's do this. Let's say that you're driving down the road and you are stopped, you're carjacked, you are robbed at gunpoint. Someone takes you out of the car, the thief takes you out of the car, beats the snot out of you, takes your money, leaves you for dead on the road, drives off with your car. You're laying there in the road, you're bloody, you're half conscious, you're incapacitated though, you're laying there. And all of a sudden, a car drives up. It's a white pickup truck and it's your pastor. He looks down at you, says, and keeps on going. That dirty rat. Slows down. Doesn't even call 911. Just drives on by you. A little bit later, Sonny drives by. Looks down at you, because I'm going fishing. Goes on by you. All of a sudden, someone shows up. It's a Muslim. It's a homosexual. Someone opposite. I'm just trying to give you the picture. Apply it to your day. Think about it. And they help you. That's how you can put that in context. Jesus tells this man the parable. Gives him just, again, overwhelming truth. And says, this is who your neighbor is. Love your neighbor. Pray for your enemies. Think about that. I don't want to pray for my enemies. I pray we nuke them. But I don't want to pray for them. I'm just being honest with you. I think sometimes we can feel better when our pastors are fake. The truth is, they're just like you. Peyton can solve world problems with one finger on the button. If he's Donald Trump, everyone's getting nuked. That's how we eliminate our problems. We take them out. He has an Old Testament theology. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. Obeying the law of Christ, what Christ taught, it requires selflessness. We need to be empowered, enabled by the Holy Spirit. But He cannot empower and enable you unless you are selfless. Unless you say, you know what? It's you. It's not me. We either pretend this is the Bible, it's the Word of God, or we take it at value what it is. It's truth. Amen. And this is a universal truth, I really believe, to live selflessly. It's a universal truth. You know what? Think about the time the Bible is written. Think about the culture. Think about how opposed. We face certain skirmishes with the world, with government, whatever, groups opposing, legal actions. But we don't have the entire world, with their guns turned at us. And we're just this little fledgling group, this small, tiny minority in human history. I mean, think about how truly the body of Christ was an infant. An infant is so delicate, right? And it can't do certain things on its own. And in the first century, the body of Christ is like a baby. And God is protecting that and preserving that. Everything wants to kill it. Everything wants to devour it. But we live in a time where we're full grown. Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't have that same set of circumstances that the early church did. And yet Jesus calls us to pray for our enemies and to live selflessly. Now listen, if they can do it, we can do it too. Amen? We can't just say, well, I can't do it because my neighbor is this or that. My neighbor has done that. My neighbor hates me. Listen, when you get to heaven, you tell it to these people who lived the first couple centuries of Christianity. Seriously. It's not going to fly, is it? Man, that is tough, isn't it? That is tough. I'll tell you, I was preaching myself this morning. I had to come out here 5 times to pray. Lord, forgive me. In order to have the mind of Christ, that's what you're going to have to do. So many times when I look at the Word of God, and I look at what the Word of God calls me to do, I realize how much my mind, my flesh is opposed to God. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is surely weak. And when I empower that flesh, oh my goodness, it causes... In order for that to avoid that, you have to live selflessly, amen? You have to. We don't have the mind of Christ because we don't want the mind of Christ is what it boils down to in a lot of circumstances. When we feel like certain people are more worthy of our sacrifice of love, that is anti-God, that is anti-Christian. Are you hearing me? When we believe that certain people deserve none of our love, or less, that's really a selfishness. And that opposes the work of the cross. We want to be more like Jesus, amen? Think about this. Jesus gave himself for red, yellow, black, white. European, Muslim, African, on down the line, right? For all. There is level ground at the cross for all, right? The same love that he has for you and I, he has for other cultures, other people.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I pray it was a blessing to you. If you're not attending a house of worship and you are looking for a church home, I want to invite you to worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.